So we are going to be in Job chapter 42 this morning. As we start this morning, I want to speak about one of the themes of Job, which is the theme of suffering. Question of why does God allow suffering? Why does God allow suffering? What is God going to do about suffering? And, well, how do you answer that question? Answer, it depends. It depends on who's asking the question, really. Because sometimes as a believer, you will have to go in gentle, and on other times you may have to go in quite hard, depending on who's asking the question. If it's someone who's in the midst of suffering, or is just coming out of suffering, if they've been greatly affected by suffering, you've got to go gentle, haven't you? Yeah, we can't go in size 9 shoes on them. So when do I push hard? Well, you need to discern. We will need discernment from God. We need God's help. You see, when I think we should push hard is when a person doesn't really want to know the answer. And there are people like that. They're just here to make a point with the Christians. Often the atheist. Now, some atheists puzzle me because they get very upset about God and suffering. And I look on them and think, why? Why are you really so upset? Why are you upset with a God who you don't in fact believe in? It makes no sense. Yeah? I'm really angry with the person who I don't think exists. That don't make any sense, does it? And indeed, what is the atheist alternative about suffering? If there's no God, what exactly is their answer? What exactly is their comfort? What exactly is their hope? Their hope is, that's the way it is. Stuff happens. That's their answer. They've got no hope. Yeah? So, really, the person who really should be asking, why does God allow suffering, should be the person who believes in God. So sometimes we need to get at, does this person actually believe in God? After that, what can we say? Specific suffering, why am I suffering? There's very little said about it. General suffering, you've got the entry of sin into the world and how it's affected our world. But a few things to say. In the original world that God made, there was no suffering. It was not made as a suffering world. That's number one. Number two, much of the suffering in our world is the result of ongoing human disobedience. Yeah, there are those effects of nature, but a lot of the problems that we see is basically human beings saying, I don't like God and I don't like his laws. And we live out the consequences. Number three, good news. Good news. God comforts people in suffering. God comforts and relieves people in suffering. Number four, are you with me? Good news again. God is going to bring an end to suffering. Yeah? It is not going to be suffering forever. There will be a time in the future when suffering will end with the new world. Number five, those who cause suffering will be dealt with. Everyone who has caused suffering will be dealt with, will be rejected by God. Okay? Not just big suffering, but also micro suffering as well. Number six is the amazing thing. God is ready to forgive those who have caused suffering, whether the big suffering or the small suffering. He's willing to do that. And he does that through his son who suffers and dies. So God will use the suffering of his son to bring life and forgiveness to all people. So there is a mystery to suffering. Why do certain people seem to go through life quite easy? Some people struggle. There are some answers to suffering, okay? And books like that actually may help you get a bit further. So let's come to Job. Job is about suffering, but not just suffering. Job is about suffering, sovereignty, and wisdom. The idea that God is in charge. So let me give you a brief summary, if you've forgotten or haven't been here. Job chapter 1 and 2. The man of God, the rich, wealthy, Bill Gates, Elon Musk, man of God, loses everything in a short space of time. It is as the result of a cosmic test between Satan and God. Is Job a good time believer? Yeah? Will he just worship God when things are going well, or will he worship God when things are bad? That is the test. Will he trust God if everything is taken away? And we see initially, he does trust God. He does trust God. Chapters 3 to 37, we have how not to help a person in suffering. Okay? How not to help a person in suffering. You have this great debate, well, you could call it debate, it's more sort of an argument. It's more like question time with no host. Yeah, just let the people have a go at each other. It's that sort of thing. So the two, and it's between Job and his friends. Why is Job actually suffering? And two reputations are at stake. The reputation of God and the reputation of Job. Because Job will say, I'm suffering because of God. God is unjust. God is unfair. And almost implied is, God is not really, we don't really know what he's doing. And he needs to come to my court to answer things. So that's one side. The friends will say, no, actually the problem's with you, Job. You've got secret things going on in your life. You need to confess them and find God's forgiveness. Okay? Actually, as I've thought, reflected upon it this week, I think I would add something to that. And that is the torment that Job must have been suffering. Because effectively what the friends are saying is, all those people who have died, those servants who you loved, your own children, that is your fault, the result of what you've done. And so that may be why he's been so passionate and desperate in his defense. Chapter 38, 41 to 41, God speaks. He will speak through his creation and he cross-examines Job. Job asks for God to come into his court, and God says, no, actually, you're in my court, and you're going to answer me some questions. What is revealed about God? Some marvelous things. Number one, he's wise. God is wise. He knows how to run the world. We don't, I don't, he does. Then he has knowledge. He knows all things, and he is powerful. He is able to restrain evil. He is ongoing in his work of restraining evil. That is, as terrible as this world is, it actually could be worse. And it actually will be worse for a period of time before his coming. So we come to chapter 42. And this is about the responses and reactions of Job, of the friends, and of God. Of Job, the friends, and God. And it's about repentance and restoration. If you're going to become a Christian, yeah, a true follower of Jesus, or if you're going to stay a Christian, the key is going to be repentance. That when God shows you things that are wrong in your life, you're not going to sweep it under the carpet, you're not going to get angry with God, you're going to confess it to him. And say, you've revealed this, it is true. I need your help, please forgive me. Yeah, this passage is going to help us to understand about repentance and about the basics. So 42 verse 1. Then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. That is, I spoke about God from ignorance. I lacked the wisdom to speak rightly. When I said God's unfair, when I said that God has arrows that he's aiming at me, that God won't listen to me, that I need answers from him, all those things, he says, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I've obscured his counsel. Yeah, but he has words for me, but I've cast a shadow over it by my own words. I've given a wrong impression of God, that he doesn't really know what he's doing, when in fact, he clearly and dramatically does. Verse 4. You said, this is Job to God, you said, listen now and I will speak. I will question you and you shall answer me. My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Yeah, so it's not just a quick word. You just say these words and it'll be cool. Actually, there's deep mourning for what he's done to God. How has Job come to the point of repentance? It's a work of God. He said, you've opened my eyes. I didn't see before, but now I see what's going on. Job says, you are wise and powerful, I am not. But his eyes need to be opened. Yeah? So what do we learn here? I think we learn this. When we speak wrongly about God, and we can all do it in really sort of subconscious ways, when we speak wrong of God, when we speak wrong of his character, when we speak wrong of his ways, we need to turn from that sin. We need to come before him and repent. Where we've had wrong thoughts about God, then also we need to repent. We need to turn if we're going to have a real relationship with him. So if you've ever misrepresented God, if we've ever portrayed God as weak, as immoral, as cruel, as unkind, as soft, we need to repent. We need to turn. Because we've got the wrong view of God. He's shown us. Yeah? Because how am I going to repent? I need my eyes opened. I can look at my sin all day long, my disobedience all day long. And unless a work of the Spirit happens, which is the opening of my spiritual eyes, I'll never see it. I'll just go through life thinking I'm magnificent. And I'm not. I need to repent. I need to turn. I need to turn to him. We need to turn to him. I need to ask and I need to keep asking. This is the way to life. You ask and you keep asking until he answers. And you give him no peace until he answers you. That is the way into the kingdom for many people. So who needs to repent? Job. Who also needs to repent? Verse 7, his friends. After this, the Lord said, verse 7, had said these things to Job. He said to Eliphaz the Temanite, I am angry with you and your two friends, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Whoa. Job spoke right of God. He just told him, didn't he? Didn't he just tell him, you're out of order? Has he spent 38, 39, 41 telling him, you're wrong, Job? So where is he right? He's right in this respect. He has said, I did nothing wrong. In that respect, Job is right. And the friends are wrong. And notice the difference between Job and the friends. When it comes to repentance, Job comes to God. When it comes to repentance, God has to go to the friends. Which may be an implied pride or an implied blindness. They couldn't see, so God has to come to them. Yeah, that is, this stuff, good things happen to good people, and bad things happen to bad people. That has been misapplied in the case of Job, and has ruined his reputation and his peace. Because they are trying to pin the deaths of servants and children on him and his past. and he's fighting it. So what do we learn here? Well, look, and this is a big one, because social media is king. The internet is everything. You destroy the reputation of a person by falsely accusing them of something. That is sin. You spread stuff that cannot be corroborated. Yeah, that people say, oh yeah, we all agreed. He did it. They're up to something. Them lot in government. You can't prove it. Sin. You have to be able to prove it. Otherwise, it's either slander or it's gossip. In which case, you're destroying someone's reputation. You have to be able to back it up. If you can't back it up, you need to confess it. Particularly of the reputation of people who are alive, but possibly even the reputation of people who are gone. Lots of stuff coming through. Loads of conspiracy theories coming through. Can they be backed up? Do you have any clear evidence? If we don't, we need to confess it, don't we? And who hasn't spread gossip? Particularly internet age, who hasn't spread gossip? Almost everyone has. Did you see what they said about us then? Is it even true? No, we need to repent, don't we? I need to repent. And we need to watch ourselves, particularly when it comes to this thing, doesn't it? By our words, by our thoughts, by our gossip, have we destroyed anyone? That's the question we need to ask. Let me say something about the process of repentance here that God gives in verse 8. So now, he says, take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and sacrifice a burnt offering for yourselves. My servant Job will pray for you, and I will accept his prayer and not deal with you according to your folly. You have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Number one, they've got to obey him. They've got to go through this process. If they don't, there cannot be forgiveness, and there can only be judgment. Number two, what do we see? We see there's a sacrifice. A sacrifice is going to have to be made. An animal is going to have to be killed. It's going to cost them money. It's going to cost an animal its life. A living thing will die on your behalf. It's either you or the animal. This is God's way of expressing the seriousness of disobedience. Sacrifice expresses it like nothing else. That animal lost its life because of me. And then finally, there's going to be intercession. God says that Job is going to pray for you. Job is going to pray for you, which means what? He's got to forgive them. He's got to forgive the people who made his life a misery. The friends who turned out not to be friends. He has to take the higher ground. He has to leave it with God. And he has to pray for these people. If he does not pray for the people, they cannot be restored. This is his final test. His last test. And it's probably one of his hardest. Verse 9. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Namathite did what God told them. Okay, they obeyed. And the Lord accepted Job's prayer. He prayed for them. He did pray for them. So he passes the final test. And what does he prove? When it comes to the things spiritually, he's God's champion. He's number one in the ancient world. He's the man. What does this speak of to us? It speaks of the gospel, doesn't it? Yeah. Now, in terms of repentance, we're not going to sacrifice animals. We don't have to. A sacrifice has been made in history. Jesus of Nazareth, who has given himself and died. His blood has been shed. That is the sacrifice we must go forward with. And we must come before God with. That is the way out. That is the way of forgiveness. That's the way of life. Intercession. Yeah, we can't just stroll up to God and say, hey, hello God, here I am. No. We need some as a go-between. Who is the go-between for us? We're told in the scriptures it is the Lord Jesus. He is the one who has spoken up for us, or will speak up for you once you believe. Yeah, that whatever mistakes and faults that you have after becoming a Christian, he will speak to the Father on your behalf. He will be your advocate with the Holy Spirit. And so, what are we seeing here? Job is a picture of Jesus. Job is an example of Jesus, someone who had suffering, unjust suffering, except in the case of the Lord Jesus, perfect. He was perfect in every way. So that's repentance. Let's look at restoration. Verse 10. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. Okay. Job chapter 1, he was Elon Musk, wasn't he? He was Elon Musk when he had 7,000 sheep. Now he's got 14,000. Yeah? He had 3,000 camels. He's now got 6,000. He had 500 donkeys. He's now got 1,000. He had 500 oxen. He now has 1,000. This man is Musk and he's everyone. And the Amazon guy? I can't remember his name there. He's all these guys mixed into one. Massive, massive wealth has been given to him. And note verse 11. All his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house. Okay, implication is they didn't before. Yeah, the fall in his reputation meant even his family deserted him. But in verse 11 they return. They comforted and consoled him over all the trouble the Lord had brought upon him, and each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. So they're reconciled. He's reconciled to the family, reconciled to the community. He's no longer an outcast. Verse 12. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. Then you've got all the animals named. Verse 13. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The first daughter he named Jemima. The second, Keziah, and the third, Keren Hapuk. Nowhere in all the land was there found women as beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father granted them an inheritance along with his brothers. Verse 16, after this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children's children to the fourth generation, and so he died, old and full of years. Old age, with his aches and pains, are seen as a bit of a burden. We need to remind ourselves, age is a sign of blessing. It's a sign of the favour of God. 114 years. That's a massive amount of time, isn't it? But he has. And he sees all his grandchildren. It's brilliant, isn't it? And they all lived happily ever after. They all lived happily ever after. Happy, happy, happy. Happy, 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 happy. That's not most people, is it? Is it? That's not most people. Yeah. How many people are going to end their lives like this? There are many people who lose their wealth. They never get it back. They die with nothing. They lost it and that's it. Many people lose their health and you never get it back. Most of the time, you never get it back. You can lose lost your loved ones and you never get them back. Yeah? And then here is Job. Happy, 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 happy. Happy, happy, happy. And I think this is the final objection to the book of Job, isn't it? This happy ending. Is this for Job, or is it for everyone? Is it for the few or for the many, as the politicians say? Final point. Ultimately, I believe it's for everyone. Ultimately, that's the cue, isn't it? Ultimately, it is for everyone. It is for all believers. Yeah? The Bible will richly reward those who serve God in terms of banquets and crowns and rest in the world to come. In the world to come. God is sovereign. We cannot limit him to this world. If you limit God's blessings to this world, you are going to be disappointed. But if you say to God, Father, you've got this world and you've got the next world. If you won't give me in this world, I know you'll give me in the next world. You'll be blessed. And also, you won't be anxious. And you won't fret. And you won't be angry with God. We have to go with what God has promised. Not what we would like him to do. We can pray for that. But what he has done and will do. Yeah? So the big lesson is, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. He is free to do what he wants. He can give it back to you as he gave it to Job. Or he's free not to give it back to you and say, no, you must wait for the spiritual blessings in glory. But in the meantime, I'll comfort you. He'll always give you something. It'll either be you get what you had, or you get the comfort. Or you may get both. And we need to be able to say, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Which is a call to patience, isn't it? Patience. So here's our final reference, James chapter 5. James 5. And this is about suffering, New Testament, after the book of Hebrews, book of James. James chapter 5. What are we told there? James 5. We're told this. James 5 verse 7. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn rains. Okay, farmers by definition must be patient. We must be like farmers if you're a follower of Christ. You must be like a farmer. Verse 8. You too, like them, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Okay, so he's about to come. What should we not do? Verse 9, don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Verse 10, brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we considered blessed those who persevered, those who kept going. You have heard of Job's perseverance. And have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Yeah. The only New Testament reference to Job. And he is a man who perseveres. And so we need to persevere. So what are the big lessons from this book? Number one is that a lot of suffering cannot be explained. Some suffering, you may get answers. Other suffering, you may get no answers. God in his wisdom may not give it to you. And the call is to trust him through that. Another thing about wisdom is, we need it. Okay? We need wisdom in how we speak to one another and how we speak to God. But the good news is, everyone in Christ will be rewarded. Okay? No ifs or buts, they will be rewarded either in the world to come or now and in the world to come. Yeah? And as people who live in the West, your recipients are great blessing, aren't they? Yeah? As our brothers and sisters are going to find when they get to the Lebanon, it's a whole different story. Massively different story. How wise God is. I commend to you the book of Job, and I commend to you the truth in the book of Job, and the call to be patient in suffering. It is for a season, it is not forever. He will reward, and in the meantime, he will comfort. Amen. Amen. Father in heaven,